these are times for us to be very humble. These are times for us to be at much prayer about what's taking place in our world and the work of Jesus Christ and where we play in that whole scenario of events and what we're doing in our own sphere of influence. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that as human beings, when we behold some of the very sobering images that we have, that we have the assurance that you are a God who cares, a God who loves, a God who is in control, a God who is behind the scenes working out your will in spite of how human beings are through the decisions that human beings make. And we want to pray, Father, that your kingdom will come. And we pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that it will be done soon. And between now and then, that it will be done in our own hearts, and that we will be about the business, Father, of sharing our hope in the soon return of Jesus to everyone. Oh, Father, may our eyes be open, our ears awake. May we be sensitive to the times in which we live. May we live them with a passion for you, being sensitive to understand them and respond to them according to your leading. Now bless us as we begin a journey together today, the final week of Jesus. May your grace be upon us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what would you do if you had one week to live? You were told it would be over in 7 days. What would you do? Would you do anything differently than you're doing now? Would you reevaluate your priorities and your values? Would you radically change what was left in your life? What would you do? Would you go on a vacation to some exotic location? Would you spend time with family and loved ones? Would you steal away for some real soul-searching self-examination? Would you indulge that fantasy that you had thought about for some time? Would you eat more ice cream? Would you pray? Would you be sure that you were right with God? Would you pull your scrapbook out and remember life as you have experienced it and all the people that you've experienced it with? Would you share your faith with others? If you had 7 days to live, if you had 1 week left, what would you do with that week? Now, it's my understanding that that's the stuff of a Hollywood movie that's on the horizon, supposedly released here at the end of the month. Some yarn about some gal that finds out she has 1 week to live. And as I have surfed the internet and read some of the preview reviews of said movie called Life or something like it, I have found a very empty way in which our secular world would spend its final 7 days. I'm also reminded of some of the recent biographies, some of the works coming out on JFK, our late president. You know, JFK was a lot sicker than we knew. Few people knew or suspected that the man entrusted with the fate of nations was always carrying around a black bag. He had 2 black bags. One was filled with all the information for the nuclear secrets and so forth. And the other black bag was filled with amphetamines, painkillers, pills and potions and steroids that kept him alive every day of his life. And he was attended constantly by doctors. It was a well-kept secret. In fact, some are suggesting that it was not just a secret. It was just bold-faced lies about his health and who he was. When JFK was 30 years old, he collapsed in a London hotel, and the attending physician said, "This guy is going to be dead within a year." The fact of the matter is that Kennedy spent most of his teenage years not knowing how long he was going to live. And so Jack Kennedy ran and ran against the clock. He took everything, they tell us. He took everything he could get as fast as he could get it, refusing to await his return. Rules were for others who had more time than he did. So they are now exploring his character, his life, from this notion that he lived under the shadow of imminent death. He did not know how long he was going to live, and so he went for all the gusto with all the energy and all the passion that he could to get as much as he could. So if you had 1 week to live, is that what you would do? You would just go whole hog and run to the front of the line and shove people away and say, you got more time than I do. Let me have my turn. One young person answered this question this way. A young person by the name of Kristen. She says, I think it's imperative to be able to answer the question you posed with nothing. In other words, if you had one week to live, what would you do? And her answer is, nothing. I wouldn't do anything. You see, she says, if we have to change how we are living to accommodate a last week, we are indeed doing something wrong. That's pretty good for a young person, don't you think? She says, I'm sad to say, though, that I would have to change. Thank you for the nudge back into reality. Bless her heart, all right? Usually when someone knows that they have a short time to live, okay, what happens, the very vital gets distilled down to the bottom line. The trivial is bypassed, the unnecessary is overlooked, that which remains is vital. So, not my suggestion to you, my theory, okay, my assertion this week is that so if you want to know Jesus Christ, if you want to know Christ, then you need to ponder His final days. His last week, His final days. Because Jesus knew the end was near. He knew the finality that was coming on Friday. He read the last chapter before it was written. And as a result, the casual was set aside for the crucial. He distilled truth in nutshells for people to grasp. There were deliberate things that he did. Everything was calculated. Everything was premeditated. Knowing that he had one last shot at his disciples, what did Jesus have to say? Knowing that he would be in the temple one last week, what would Jesus think and what would Jesus do? Conscious that the last sand was slipping through the hourglass, what would matter most for Jesus Christ? What would he do? What would he say? How would he feel? What would he think? And so in this series, Final Week, Final Walk, we'll learn what mattered most for Jesus. We'll learn how Jesus spent his final week, his final walk from Jericho to Jerusalem, from the temple to the garden, from the garden to the trial, from Pilate's palace to Golgotha's cross. And we'll watch him walk angrily into the temple. We'll see him walk wearily into the Garden of Gethsemane and painfully up the Via della Rosa and then powerfully out of the vacant tomb. In that final walk, Jesus reveals something about His identity. He reveals something about His person. He reveals something about His passion. He reveals something about His mission. He reveals something about His heart. He discloses His own heart in the things that He chooses to do this final week of His life. If you would know Jesus Christ, ponder His final days. There you see what is really on His heart. And that's what Ellen White tells us. She says, if it would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ. You've read that. We should take it point by point, she says. Let the imagination take in every scene. And then she says, especially the closing ones. As we thus dwell upon His great sacrifice for us, our confidence in Him will be more constant. Our love will be quickened. We shall be more deeply imbued with the Spirit. If we would be saved at last, we must learn the lesson of penitence and humiliation at the foot of the cross. So Ellen White penned in the book Desire of Ages. Now, let me ask you the question. Would you have your confidence in Jesus Christ increased? Yes or no? Yes, all right? That's kind of a weak yes, but I'll take it, all right? Do you want your love for Jesus quickened? All right, okay? Do you want to be more deeply imbued with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ? All right.
If you would have your love quickened, if you would have your confidence deepened, if you would be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, then spend the time pondering the final days of Jesus. Now, we're going to be doing it over the spring weeks here, up through the first week in June. But I invite you to take to the book Desire of Ages. I invite you to take Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and take those final chapters and read them. Allow your own heart to be filled, and you will find your experience with Jesus being deepened, your confidence in Him becoming stronger. Join me in that journey. Now, Christ's final week, Christ's final walk, actually began with a ride. You see, Jesus walked wherever He went. Unless He was crossing the Sea of Galilee, and then He rode a boat. But whenever Jesus was on land, He walked. Except for this one day. The Sunday before the cross. That would be tomorrow. They call it Palm Sunday, okay? Christian tradition refers to it as Palm Sunday. The Sunday, the first day of the week, leading up to the cross. Jesus walked wherever He went, but on this day, He chose to ride. Every other day of the week, of this final week, He walked into Jerusalem. But on this day, the first day of His final week, He rode a donkey. He rode a donkey. And this ride tells us that there was a set purpose to His final week, that there was an agenda, that there was something different, that Jesus initiated His final week by coming at it differently. He did something so different that His disciples recognized that there was something different here. It caught them by surprise. But the fact of the matter is as Jesus told them to go and get the donkey and all the conversation that might take place as they went to get the donkey, and then it all came true, it gives us the impression that knowing the future adds to the mood of this particular story. The events about to happen in Jerusalem are no surprise for Jesus. He knows exactly what He is riding into. He is riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, being proclaimed as king. But that is not where He's going to wind up. There is a pervasive sense of destiny in the final week of Jesus. That's why the book of Luke says that Jesus set His face towards Jerusalem. He set His face. He wouldn't turn His gaze. He wouldn't turn His heart. He set His mind towards that experience in Jerusalem. And John tells us that when Jesus appeared in Jerusalem on the back of the donkey, Jesus declared, "Mine hour has now come." Jesus was on a mission. He was set. It was His final week. It was His final walk. And because Jesus had always traveled on foot, like I already mentioned, His disciples were caught off guard. They said, something's going on here. And as they went to get that donkey, as they went to follow Jesus' instruction, their minds began to stir. Something is different. Jesus is going to ride into town now. And who rides into town on a donkey? Well, it is kings who ride in town on a donkey. Well, maybe now, all that we had ever believed about Jesus is going to come true. And they started expressing those ideas to the people along the way and as they were leading that donkey back. And then when Jesus began accepting homage and worship and praise and this setting Him up as king as He had refused to have happened to Him before, it even more stirred their imagination. They saw the Roman armies driven from Jerusalem, Israel once more an independent nation. And we're told that as Jesus began heading towards Jerusalem, already a group of people around Him, a crowd of people around Him, waving palm branches and throwing their garments before Him and singing, that others heard about it. And they came out from the city to meet Jesus, to greet Jesus. Now, Bible scholars tell us that there were maybe 50,000 plus people living in Jerusalem at that time. And on a Passover weekend, you could probably have 200,000 more, maybe 300,000 more people show up, and the city of Jerusalem could not hold 300,000 people. So the people would literally set up a tent city on the mountains and the hills around Jerusalem. So I want you to picture the Mount of Olives. This is where Jesus is headed towards the Mount of Olives. down the valley into Jerusalem. He's headed towards the Mount of Olives, and all across the Mount of Olives there are all these tents, all these booths, all these places where people are gathered together. And it doesn't take long for news to spread, and it doesn't take long for the imagination to be stirred. And we're told here in verse 10, the burning question on the hearts of those that surged towards Jesus. They had heard of the resurrection of Lazarus. Now they heard that this Jesus, who had refused to be crowned king before, this Jesus who never allowed any of this commotion to be created around him before, what had changed his mind? It raised that burning question in their minds. Who is this? Who is this? What does all this commotion now signify? And we also read that they had those palm branches in their hands, the symbols of Jewish nationalism. Waving palms symbolized Israel's national hopes. Now they were focused on Jesus. And they were, as they were going along with Jesus, they were saying, Hosanna! Hosanna to the highest. And the word Hosanna means save now. So basically they were saying, save now! Save now! Save now! Chanting, save now! Save now! Save now! And of course, they were greeting Jesus as a national liberator. The scene is awash with Jewish political fervor. The reality is that the crowd is cheering a fantasy, because their messianic hero is a victor bringing liberation to Jerusalem. But only a few days later, because Jesus did not bring the liberation that they had anticipated, just a few days later, many in the same crowd would urge that Jesus would be crucified. And so Ellen White, reflecting on this awesome moment of royal entry into Jerusalem, Ellen White writes these words, Desire of Ages. She says, never before in his earthly life had Jesus permitted such a demonstration. He clearly foresaw the result. It would bring him to the cross. But it was his purpose that publicly to present himself as the Redeemer. He desired to call attention to the sacrifice that was to crown his mission to a fallen world. How do you get the attention of 300,000 people? You ride into town on a donkey. All right? Ellen White goes on to say that it would be needful later on for the Church of Jesus Christ, okay, of all succeeding generations to make his death for the sins of the world a subject of deep thought and study. Every fact connected with it should be verified beyond a doubt. It was necessary then that the eyes of all people should now be directed to him. The events which preceded his great sacrifice must be such as to call attention to the sacrifice itself. So the fact that we have the Gospels with the information in it that we do goes back, you know, in terms of the last week of Jesus Christ, the last hours of Jesus Christ, okay, are rooted in this triumphal entry experience. All eyes were to follow Jesus. And then as she goes on to talk about the events connected with this triumphal ride would be the talk of every tongue. The talk of every tongue, and would bring Jesus before every mind. So the triumphal entry, Jesus riding in on the back of a donkey, people saying, save now, save now, save now. And then the events of that week ending in the cross and the death of Jesus Christ would stir minds and imaginations and open hearts to determine whether or not this was the Messiah that they had hoped would come and redeem them. Now, just briefly, because I know our time has slipped away on us, kingship is one of the themes in the final week of Jesus. You see it occurring over and over. John's Gospel in particular focuses on the theme of Jesus being a king. They mock him as king. Pilate has an extended discussion with Jesus about whether or not he is a king. And There, the inscription over top him as he hangs on the cross refers to him as King of the Jews. And the religious leaders around that were rejecting Jesus said, "We have no king but Caesar." And so the notion of king weaves its way through the final week of Jesus. And what I want us to grasp here for just a moment is that the week begins as it ends. Christ's last week began on Palm Sunday with His triumphal entry as King into Jerusalem. But as the week ends with the death of Jesus as the crucified King, the week begins as it ends. On the first day, He enters as King. On Friday, He is crucified under the superscription, "The King of the Jews." And God would have us learn something about His way, the nature of His kingdom, the nature of His work. His entry is a major statement about God's plan and the nature of His kingdom. And it is a message that some would rejoice in. Others would not be able to comprehend it all, and others still would emphatically reject that the kingship, the lordship of Jesus Christ would be a totally different kind of kingship and lordship. It would rule over the hearts and minds and imagination of human beings. It would rule over the sin and the brokenness and the pain of their lives. But the scene of Jesus coming to the Mount of Olives, riding on a donkey, is one that ends with tremendous sorrow. You'll remember me sharing with you a couple years ago when my wife and I were in Israel. It was a Friday night. We were taking a walk out on one of the hillsides where you could look down into Jerusalem. You could look across towards Bethlehem. The sun was setting. It was a beautiful evening. And we looked up, and here was a Palestinian man riding an Arabian horse across the crest of the hill there. And he was silhouetted against the sun, and it was just an awesome moment. I mean, it was one of those picturesque things. You just wish that you could have had your camera and snapped a picture, and that's exactly what I did. And we moved closer to the group of individuals, and we stood there and watched about a half a dozen Palestinian guys riding their horses for all of it was worth, back and forth across the top of this little plateau on this hill. And then it was that one of those Palestinians came to me and said, "Would you like to ride?" And I did not turn that down. He had a little hesitation once I got on it. He said, "You have ridden before, haven't you?" And I assured him I had. And so if you can imagine me tearing across as the sun was setting, this hillside on the back of an Arabian horse, just tearing, you know, bareback, just as fast as that horse would go. It was an exhilarating experience. I want you to see, as Jesus comes to the top of the Mount of Olives, the sun is setting. All right? You can see Him silhouetted on the back of a donkey. The crowds are around Him. They're cheering. They're celebrating. They're waving their palms. They're singing, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." And Jesus comes to the top of the hill. And now Jerusalem is in full view. And the temple is in full view. And that temple is snowy white marble with gold decorations around it. And from a distance it glimmers, it shimmers. It's awesome in its beauty. And Jesus stops. And for a moment, everybody is enraptured with the picture that they see, the scene that they see of Jerusalem and the scene that they see of the temple. And they are filled with admiration and pride. And they instinctively turn to this one that they were celebrating as king, thinking that he too would be there filled with joy and an expression of pride on his face. But the Bible tells us in Luke adds it to his story. The Bible tells us as they turned and beheld Jesus, they didn't see a look of pride, a look of joy on the face of Jesus, but rather they saw tears streaming down His face. And then they watched Him convulse and rock back and forth on the back of that donkey as His heart was filled with some incredible pain and sorrow that was just pulling up from deep within, so much so that Ellen White says that they began to cry with him, not knowing what was going on, why he was crying. But Luke tells us that the city that Jesus loved did not love Jesus. That while there were those around him celebrating his ride into town, there were those that were questioning his ride into town. There were some that only saw him as a false prophet riding on the back of a donkey. And Jesus cries out from the depths of his heart. He says, if you had only known the day of your visitation. But in his prophetic mind, he reaches forward and he saw the time in which Jerusalem would be destroyed and broken and torn down because they rejected their king. They rejected their Messiah. And so here he was riding a donkey. The people hailing him as king. But the fact of the matter is most of them missed it. Jesus wasn't who they wanted him to be. They wanted the pageantry. They wanted the worldly riches. They wanted the earthly thrones. They wanted the politics. They wanted the rules. They wanted the regulations. They wanted Jesus to be like they were. And the fact that Jesus was more interested in people than in pomp, in goodness than in glory, more interested in salvation than the Sabbath, righteousness than rightness, they missed it, and they missed Jesus. And so the story of the triumphal entry begins that journey of Christ's last week, intentional, premeditated, designed to focus all thoughts, all minds on that coming event when Jesus would painfully walk up the Via Della Rosa and carrying that cross. It's also a time of decision. That when we're confronted with Jesus and who He really is and what is important to Him, we're pressed with the reality of what is important to us and how what is important to us sometimes controls what we are able to see and witness about Him. And so join me in this journey, the final week, and the final walk. Join me with Jesus, but let us not just see what Jesus does. May our own openness of heart enable us to understand who Jesus is. And may we be making those decisions that will enable Him to truly be the King of our hearts, the kind of King that He died and wore that crown of thorns to be.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries have been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.